Right. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers. You say, what in the world could you preach out of Numbers? Well, we'll see. Not really a message tonight, but there's no getting out of it. I really don't know the direction I'm going. I have no notes but some scripture references written down, and I've struggled with this all week long, trying to take a thought and develop it into a message. And I about got aggravated with myself and said, I'll just set this aside and come back to it later. And the Lord said, no, just give them the thought. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a thought. We think if we don't get up and preach 45 minutes to an hour, we hadn't done any good. But if I could just leave you with one thought tonight that would be a help to you, I'd say, well, we've done our job. Amen. I'm not sure exactly how much I'll read, but I want us to look at Numbers chapter number 13. If you know the story, Moses is sending the spies into the promised land to view the land. How many spies did he send, class? 12 spies. What those spies were to do was to go and ascertain, I guess, the situation. Go see what the deal was. They were, Brother Greg, like a reconnaissance group. Is that right? In the Army, they'll take, or the Marine Corps, they'll take a small group of men and send them into a situation to assess it. Is that right? And then they'll come back and they'll give the report, well, the enemy's encamped here and they've got this here and that there, and maybe this ought to be our strategy. And that's what Moses is doing. He's sending a recon unit to check out the land. Amen. Of course, we know they bring back a report, and that's what I want to look at for a few minutes tonight. In verse 17, the Bible said, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And so they go into the land and they find the big grapes of Eshcol, and they had to bear them on a one cluster of grapes on a pole between two. Between two men, y'all excuse me. So, and they see that the land flows with milk and with honey, and they go in and they see all these great sights, and it surely is a great place. So let's jump on down to, let's see, verse number 27. After they came to Moses, the Bible said, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Stop right there. You know what they said? The place is everything God said it was. No doubt about it, it is everything God said it was. It is a promised land. It does flow with milk and honey. It's an awesome place. Man, just look at this cluster of grapes that we brought back. Can you imagine grapes the size of grapefruits? Can you imagine sucking the goody out of one of them? Amen. Come on, y'all talk to me. Y'all ever eat muscadines? I like to. I got some in my pocket, bro. If I put that in my mouth, I'll spit 10 rows back. They said it's everything God said it was. And you know what I found out when I got saved? Salvation is everything I ever heard it was. And so much the more. I mean, it's everything I heard them sing about. Salvation's everything I heard them shout about. Living for Christ is everything I ever heard it was. And so much the more. Look at the next verse. What's that first word? Nevertheless. Here's what they said. Look at me. Oh, it's everything God said it was. It flows with milk and honey. Look at these great big grapes that we brought back. I mean, man, it is an awesome place, but we got a crowd of Christians like that. Oh, I love the Lord, and I love being in church, and I love serving God, and but nevertheless, now watch this, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Man, they've done their job. They've checked out the entire place. Verse number 30, and Caleb stilled the people. You know what he's saying? Calm down. Calm down. I know this crowd's coming in here nevertheless. Oh, it's great and all that, but Caleb says, y'all just chill out a second. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let's don't fool around. Let's don't wait. Let's go now. Yeah. How many of you know they didn't go now? Yeah. It was a long time after this before they went. Years and years. Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it. Now watch this next phrase. For we are, say the next two words, well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Now watch this, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Here's the thought. These men came back with a negative report. He sent 12 into the land. Is that right? How many had a negative report? Anybody know?
10.
Joshua and Caleb said, I think we can do this. But I want you to know that the majority doubted. That's usually the case. There'll be a few that'll say, let's charge hell with a water pistol. But the majority will say, we be not able. Yeah. We be not able. Now, we can beat these guys up all day long. And were they at fault? Yeah. Yes, they were at fault. But I want you to notice something tonight as we go through the scriptures. Uncertainty is our human nature. Uncertainty is our human nature. Would you agree that we're living in uncertain times? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Are we living in uncertain times? I mean, I'm 43. Am I 43? 43. I don't even want to keep up with it anymore. I'm 43 years old. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. Amen. We're living in uncertain times. The economy is bad. We've got men, family after family in our church out of work. And as far as I can see, it may get worse. I don't mean to be a naysayer or a doomsday kind of preacher, but I'm afraid it's going to get worse. This bailout plan, I wish they'd bail us out. Amen. Some of the stupidest stuff I've ever heard, man. They mentioned bailout. Even old Schwarzenegger called from California. Bail out California. There ain't enough money in Fort Knox to bail out California. Bailout plan. Oh, this is the answer. No, it just puts us further in debt. Whether you agree with it or not, we're $700 billion in debt. Somebody owes that money. Guess who? We're living in uncertain days. I watched and we don't politic from the pulpit, but I watched the polls in the election thing today. I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you. I tell you this, Christians need to get off their backside in November and vote. Amen. If you're not registered to vote and you don't go cast your vote, you're at fault for what happens to America. When they say we can no longer pray in public, it'll be on your plate, brother. Somebody said, "Preacher, why do you think it's so important to vote? So I can gripe. If I don't vote, I ain't got no business opening my mouth." You said, "Preacher, which way we ought to vote? The lesser of two evils." We okay? Just pick out the one that's the least worst and cast your vote. We okay there? My recommendation is always to go online and look at that comparison chart and see who's for what and who's against what. See who's for gay marriage and who's against it. See who's for abortion and who's against it. We okay?
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said so-and-so's not got experience. So-and-so's not qualified. They love God. That's good enough for me. Amen.
Yeah.
We all right? Uncertain times. Uncertain times. Probably the most important election, presidential election in our lifetime. There's a lot hinges on this.
Amen.
But we're living in uncertain days. The economy. The election. Your jobs, I don't know. But people are uneasy. People are uneasy. You know why? Because you're basing your life on what you see. You're basing your life and you're living your life on what you see, what you can touch, what's tangible, and what you can feel. That's what happened to these 10 men that went into the land of Canaan. Hey, I've been where they are. They walked in there and went, "Whoa. Did you see that guy? Man, that was Andre the Giant. That guy was 9 foot tall. That ain't nothing. Did you see his sister?" I mean, they walked in there, man, and yes, the pomegranates were great and the grapes were great and it flowed with milk and honey, but man, did you see that wall around that city? We couldn't get through that with a Sherman tank, and they're not going to be invented for another 10,000 years or 6,000, 4,000 years. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
All they did was truly assess the situation. It's bad. We okay? Uncertainty's human nature. Boys, go check it out. Okay? Well, what'd you see? It's bad. It's bad. It's so bad, in fact, that we're convinced we can't do this. We're not able. Question. The economy's bad. Not sure about the election. Some of you are out of work. It's bad, preacher. So do we stop the buses?
Yes, sir.
We've got one sitting out here with a blown, our newest bus. Go figure. It couldn't be one of them old yeller ones that ain't been painted. It's got to be one that we got a lot of work into. Kaput. It's bad. What are we going to do? We're not able. That's what the majority said. But there were two. There were two who said, "I think we're, let's go now.
Yeah.
Let's don't wait. Let's don't plan. Let's go."
Yeah.
Oh, Caleb said, "I want that mountain."
Yeah.
Well, he got it too in the end, amen. He said, "I want that mountain. That mountain's mine. I'm staking a claim on that boy right now. Hey, mount up the horses, son. Grab the swords. Let's go at it. Let's go get it." Whoa, we're not able. I believe two men remembered some things that 10 men had forgotten. We're living in some uncertain days, but if we would come out of that majority a little bit and go over here with this minority a little bit who remembers how great and how mighty and how wonderful and how marvelous our God is, we might just make it through these uncertain times. Amen. I wonder, is Joshua and Caleb were on their way back and maybe they're toting that big old thing of grapes? And they could hear all the talk. Those men came back together. I wonder if they thought about that Red Sea experience. God brought them out of Egypt. If you're saved tonight, God has brought you out of Egypt. He has delivered you from the bondage and the power and the penalty of sin. And one day when the trumpet blows, He'll deliver you from the very presence of sin. Hey, thank God He brought us out. Amen. Brought them out of Egypt. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Brings them out and brings them all the way down to the Red Sea. Isn't that funny? How God leads you out of one thing and leads you up to another that seems absolutely insurmountable, absolutely impossible. I mean, they got Pharaoh's army on their tail. They can't go that away. 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 Old Brother Joe Arthur said, thank God when you can't go back and you can't go forward and you can't go right and you can't go left and you can't go down. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Yes. Yes.
Here they are. Would you say that was an uncertain day? I don't think we've ever had one quite that bad. Moses, you just bring us out here to die? That's what they said. We'd be better off back there stomping in the mud and making bricks in Egypt. We'd be better off back there under the hard taskmaster. We'd be better off as slaves as we are standing right here where you brought us to, big boy. I mean, what we gonna do now? You know what Moses said? We ain't got the foggiest idea. I mean, really. That's what he told the Lord. What do we do now? He said, what you got in your hand, Moses? He said, it's a rod. He said, well, just lift that thing up and let's see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
Huh? God was able to take an uncertain day, a day of real uncertainty, where the human eye or flesh could possibly see no way out. There is no answer. Not maybe we could try this. And that's what we do as Christians. We get in these situations of financial difficulty and economical and all this mess. And, well, if we could do this and if we could refinance this and we could do this and we could do that. We got all these plans. But here we get in these places where, honey, what are we going to do? I don't know.
Amen.
I don't know. How's the economy in Australia? We'll move over there. Amen. Y'all need some rednecks down there, brother? I just don't know. Maybe Joshua and Caleb is on their way back to give the report to Moses and these 10 are behind them. It looks bad, guys. Ain't no way. Did you see those giants? Did you see those walls? Did you see that? And maybe Joshua says, hey, Caleb, you remember that Red Sea? You remember that Red Sea? I mean, man, we just young boys, but you remember how that water just stood up on each side and we crossed that thing? I mean, boy, on dry ground, the ground wasn't even wet. Hey, man, if God can do something like that, surely He can take care of an overgrown goofball like that we just saw down yonder. Surely He can knock down a wall if God can divide a Red Sea for us, if He can bring us out of Egypt, if He can destroy Pharaoh's army in just a matter of time. Surely God can take care of this uncertain situation. Amen. You and I ought to get to the place to where we quit looking at what we can physically see and get our eyes on what we can spiritually see. Can I say to you that God has done more for you than He ever done for Joshua and Caleb? You say, ain't parted no Red Seas in my life. Baloney. Think about it real hard. But we're living in a day, especially in the church, where the majority will be naysayers. Amen. Human nature. But listen, we have a new nature. We have a new nature that's bigger than Obama, that's bigger than McCain, that's bigger than Wall Street, that's bigger than the bailout plan, that's bigger than Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and whoever else. Y'all with me? Say, preacher, I'm still uncertain. I know, but let's, hey, the Hebrew writer said, but we see Jesus. Let's get our eyes fixed on Him, amen? Our problem is we leave God out of the equation. That's what's wrong in America. Hey, who's to blame? That's all they're doing. It's politics as usual, both sides. Bunch of liars, bunch of thieves, bunch of crooks. Don't nobody want to fix the problem unless it gets them a vote. I told my wife they ought to hire some elite economist from another country and say, you fix it, we'll pay you to. And then nobody gets the credit. What was the old famous basketball coach said? Who cares who gets the credit as long as we win? Amen. I hate politics, don't you? Problem with America is we've left God out of the situation. In God we trust? Isn't it funny that the very thing that phrase is printed on is our greatest problem in America? Amen. We've left Him out of the equation. Preacher, I've lost my job. I got laid off. You better put God back in the situation. Preacher, I don't know how we're going to pay our bills. You better get your eyes on the Lord. Quit looking at the things of the flesh. Get your things off, mind off the things of the world. You'll sink. You'll die. You'll drown out in this sea of mess that's going on. Hey, let's get our eyes on Him. Remember what He's already done. Amen. John chapter number 6. Couple verses of scripture. I'll be done. Just a thought tonight. Have you been a little uncertain? I got hung up this year watching the stuff about the election more than I have any election in my lifetime. And I was in the motel on Thursday. I cut that thing on the news and I lay there across the bed and listened to it for about 10 minutes and I said, I'm sick of this. Yeah. It's the same old mess over and over and over and over. Isn't it, I don't know, I'm getting a little bit hung up here, but isn't it weird how somebody makes a statement and they have to have 4,000 people analyze a statement? Somebody interviewed Obama, and somebody who had a degree to come in and analyze his body. What do you call that? Body language. Body language. I got some body language for you. Stupidest stuff I ever heard in my life, man. The dude meant what he said, or he's a liar. One of the two. Hey, amen. Anyway. Beats all I ever seen. John chapter number 6, verse number 5. When Jesus lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? You know what Jesus said? Philip, what are we going to do? You know, we're normally the one looking at Him going, Lord, what are we going to do? But now here's the Lord looking at us saying, what are we going to do? I wonder if He ever looks at Happy Valley and says, okay, what y'all going to do? I wonder if that's not what He's doing in our situation right now. What y'all going to do? Brother Tom told me this morning, said, preacher, it's bad. I know it. What are we going to do? Look at the next verse. And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Stay with me just for a minute. Jesus already knew the answer. He knew about the little boy with the lunch before Andrew ever said, there's a lad here who has a small lunch. Jesus knew that boy was there. Jesus ordained it so that that boy would be there. He knew what was inside the sack. He knew it was 5 loaves. He knew it was 2 small fishes. He knew exactly what he would do. And you know what? He knows exactly what he's going to do in our situation too. Exactly. You know what the problem is? We don't know. That's the problem. That's why the anxiety. That's why the depression. Why? Because we think we have to know everything. We think we have to know the end of everything. There's only one person that the Bible said knows the end from the beginning, and that's Him. That's the Lord God Almighty. Hey, there's things you don't know. There's no way you can know. You can call the psychic hotline all you want, and they're liars too. Yeah, psychic. They ain't psychic. They're psychic. You say, well, I believe Jane Dixon. You're an idiot. You're a bona fide idiot. Check yourself in. If you don't get help at Charter, get help. If they're so right, why come they only tell people good stuff?
You're going to meet a tall, dark stranger. You're going to come into a lot of money. Why don't you ever say, you got a tumor?
You're going to get hit by a bus. Come on. They're liars. They don't know no more what's going to happen tomorrow than you and I do. Hey, but I'm serving one that already has the answer. And if we'll just hang on, it could be that it's on its way. Hey, Philip, what are we going to do? The Bible said he said this to prove him because he already knew what he'd do. You know what? Look what Philip said. Here's you and I tonight. This is us. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. You know what he started doing? Look at me. Philip, what we gonna do? Hang on just a second. Let's see. I got $2. Hey, Peter, what you got, man? You got 3. Hand it over, man. You know what they're doing? They're seeing what they got. So what's wrong with that? Nothing, except they forgot who they got. Nothing wrong with pooling our resources. That's how we'll get the job done. But let's not forget who we've got. Yeah. Have y'all ever learned in your lifetime how God does math? When I was in school, 2 plus 2 was 4. But with God, sometimes it's 8.
Amen.
Sometimes 10 plus 10 is 100. You said it don't make sense. No, it makes God.
Yeah.
Amen. Here's what we do, isn't it? Look, Lord, this is all we got, and that ain't enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What should Philip have said? Now, I'm just a little bit cocky, I guess. If the Lord had asked me, you said them 5,000 people? Mm-hmm. How are we going to feed them? You the one walking on water. Amen. You're the one. You're the one done went down there at that wedding, turned that water into wine. You're the one healing all these people. You tell me what we're going to do. You know what he finally said? They said, there's a lad here with lunch. He said, give it to me. Let's just give God what we got and watch Him multiply. Okay. You hear what I said? Let's just give the Lord what we've got. Quit fretting, quit worrying, quit pulling our hair out, and let's just trust the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Uncertainty. I'm uncertain about a lot of things, but not about Him. John chapter number 20. 2 verses and we're done. John chapter number 20.
John chapter number 20. Let's look at verse 24. The Lord's risen from the dead. He's shown himself to his disciples. Verse 24, the Bible said, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Watch this. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. You know, 8 days, he let him stew a while. Those children of Israel, he let them stew a while too, about 40 years. Uncertainty may cost us some time. Caleb said, let's go now. Oh, it's not a good time, the economy's bad. There's not a good time to quit, people. I don't care what we have to do. We'll replace that bus. One way or the other. And it'll be painted and lettered up just like that before it ever goes on the road. I don't care what it takes. Yeah, but preacher, it's tough. I know. I got a God. He lets him stew a while. 8 days he lets him sit. What verse was that in? Yeah, 26. And Thomas was with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Notice who he speaks to first. Before he addresses any of the others, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. Where was Jesus when Thomas made his statement? Jesus just quoted him verbatim. He's standing right there with him. Thank you, Brother Charles. He was standing right there with him. Thomas said, unless I take my finger and put it in that nail print, I thrust my hand into his side. And the whole time the Lord's saying, Thomas, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Just because you can't see me, just because you can't see what I'm doing, and because you can't see the end of the plan and where we're going, doesn't mean that I'm not around. So 8 days later, the Lord comes up and he says, hey, Thomas, bring me your finger.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Put it right there, Thomas. Hey, Thomas, give me your hand. He heard him. He was there all along. Kind of goes along with that, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Amen. He revealed himself to Thomas. Listen, if you'll hang on, he'll reveal himself to you too. Even in these uncertain days, John chapter 14, and I'll quit. The Lord is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. He's tried in so many ways to explain to his disciples what is fixing to happen. And just like us, they're just mere mortal men and they cannot grasp it. It's hard to wrap your mind around what you can't see and what's never been done in your life. But that's faith. They're troubled. They're uncertain about what lies ahead. And here's what Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Hear what he said? Don't live in uncertainty. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen, you believe God, believe in me. Isn't that what he said? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll quit. Proverbs chapter 3. Brother Todd, y'all come. He left. Sister Ashley, you come, get us a song. Church, I'm in no way trying to make light of what you're going through. My heart aches for some of you every day, and I pray, and I pray. I pray. I've got churches all around the country praying God to give you jobs, give you work, take care of your families. I had a missionary who was supposed to be here tonight, Brother John Byer, going to Canada. He called last night to tell me he's coming. I said, you know what, brother? I said, let's reschedule this. He's down Pensacola. I said, if you've got somewhere you can go, I said, let's reschedule it. He said, what's going on, preacher? And I told him, I said, man, I said, I'm just going to tell you straight up. You can be the greatest missionary in the world. We can't take you on right now. I said, our missionaries are getting about half of what they should be getting. I said, call me in the spring and let's schedule something else. He said, thank you for being honest, preacher. I just felt like telling him straight up. Yeah, like it was. Don't bring him in on false pretenses. Yeah, we're living in uncertain time. I don't know what the future holds. It could get worse before it gets better. Well, what are we going to do, preacher? Same thing we did, if you'll remember, if you were here, during the Y2K crisis. Remember how bad that was going to be? If I had a good lawyer, I'd sue the britches off every preacher that wrote a book about the Y2K. Amen. They ought to be sued, bunch of frauds. Telling people to hoard up groceries and all this stuff. This is how I addressed it in our church. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Isn't that what it says? What are we going to do, preacher, about the election? We're going to trust God. I'm going to pray every day. I've been praying. I hope you have. Hope you've been praying for America. Yeah. I've been praying for Congress. I've been praying for the Senate. They've had some big decisions on their plate these last few days. Amen. I've been praying for them. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do in light of the election. I'm going to trust God. Yeah. Tell you what I'm going to do in light of the economy. I'm going to trust God. Yeah, but preacher, what if we lose our house? Let's trust God. No matter what may come, let's trust God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I guess kind of the point I was trying to make tonight is you're not the first one to ever go through uncertain times. It's been that way since the dawning of time. Struggles. Uncertainty. And I'm glad we can be certain about our Savior tonight. God spoke to your heart in any way. This altar's open. You just help yourself tonight. Y'all go ahead and sing. God